All right, we're back. Retail therapy. My name's Will DeFries. With me today, as always, Barrett Dudley. Barrett, how are we doing today?
We're doing all right, you know. Just wrapping up this this first week in November, where we had some nice, crisp weather. Today it's warming up a little
dress
bit.
Dress and weather, I'd say.
Dress and weather, it has been. I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I've also been... Also had a nice last couple of days because I've been listening to 1989, Taylor's version. Don't know if you've heard about that.
I have.
And it'd been a while since I re-listened to that album. I it was always up there for me, you know. I had long considered it my favorite,
okay,
as many people do. Mm-hmm. But I'm a huge Midnights fan.
Really?
Huge
like
Midnights
it rivals
fan.
1989 for you?
Well, so listening to 1989, I now understand why I like Midnight so much, because Midnight sounds a lot like 1989.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
I think that was intentional.
And I think so too. And I've not done my deep dive. I've not done my full-on research, as it were, but I would be surprised if there aren't several 1989 songs produced by Jack Antonoff. I get the sense that there are at least a couple.
I don't know.
Swifties out there, please don't come for my
they're
head.
Punching the air right now. They're going to cancel
for
us.
For not knowing
they've
that.
They've canceled for less.
Off the dome.
They've canceled for less.
Just a great album. Just 1989 and Midnights, two albums that I feel like are really talking to each other. And
I'm glad you brought this up, Barrett, because I have a slight issue right now with Taylor Swift. And
this is
particularly talking about 1989.
I hate to hear it.
This is a problem that many retail therapy listeners have faced in the past. This is a problem that we will all face in the future as well. I ordered, because instead of just streaming things for free, I like to spend money.
Right.
And so I ordered the vinyl. I pre-ordered the vinyl. I got a shipping notification for that vinyl over a week ago. And it's kind of just sitting in Michigan right now. And it says the label's been created. And I'm just sitting in limbo waiting for this. I thought it would arrive on the day that it was all released, like, publicly.
Yeah,
I thought she would have it coordinated like that. But instead, I just don't have this.
Where did you order from?
Taylor Swift.
From Taylor Swift.
Like, TaylorSwift.com. Yeah.
Well, you know, these international, worldwide superstars, you just cannot trust them when it comes to shipping stuff. Because, you know, me, personally, I ordered my Skims on the very day that they dropped within the first couple hours, and mine aren't even arriving until later today. You already have yours, even though you waited a full day. So it's just who can say when things are going to ship and when they're not. There's just no rhyme or reason to it. And
Kim saw my notification.
A lot of us are getting screwed out here.
No, Kim saw my notification on the app, and she was like, all right, expedite his stuff. Let's do this. She was like, yep, I like the Sunday Scaries guy. I'm not sure about the retail therapy guy, but like,
I mean, you know.
It's just hard. I mean, for me, Barrett, 1989, I think, is my favorite Taylor Swift, like, pop album.
Okay.
My favorite Taylor Swift album, though, is Folklore.
Right.
And it will forever be Folklore. It hit me at the right time, in the middle of, like, the sadness of the pandemic, fall hitting, just everything. The spiritual experience I had listening to that album as the sun rose and I looked out the window, I was just like, okay, I'm having a moment right now. And I'll never get away from that.
I think a lot of people like both Folklore and Evermore. I think they have those up there. But for me, I'm a pop boy, and everybody knows that about me. And I just feel like 1989 and Midnights are two pretty close to perfect pop albums. So, you know,
I think she owns all the. I think, like, there won't be a Taylor's version of, like, Folklore, because I think by that time she'd already resolved everything.
There are two more.
Okay,
two more: Debut and Reputation.
Okay,
are the final two.
Okay, okay.
I also just want to say, we obviously talk about Taylor Swift a lot here. How can you not over the last year? I was listening to 1989, and I was just thinking about, like, the project of Taylor's version, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even without the whole Masters controversy and, like, the Scooter Braun of it all, it's just absolutely brilliant to do this.
Yeah, it is.
Like, to just go back and re-record all of your albums and regenerate all the hype from all, like...
Correct.
Like, I don't know that the hype would have been there without the kind of the original controversy. But, like, and obviously, you know, there I hate to bring him up as a comp at this point, but he's really the only person that ever got close to like this level of fame from our generation when it comes to music. But I can't help but think about like if Kanye, you know how he toyed with Life of Pablo? You know how it was like a living, breathing organism?
Oh yeah, they like updated it numerous times.
He would update, he would go in there and like update it every couple of weeks and like change this, change that. I'm just thinking about like, you know. He never took
the Taylor lyric out though.
He's another artist that had, you know, 8 incredible albums. And if he had just done whatever it was, Kanye's version, and gone back and like re-recorded those albums, but like in with some type of new.
Maybe take some skits out.
Sure. It just like any artist that has that type of catalog, like this could have been kind of a brilliant move, but now Taylor's done it. And I don't think he can recapture the magic.
Yeah. I mean, the people that call money grab, I'm like, well, I mean, like, okay, is she profiting hugely from this? Absolutely.
Massively.
But
yes.
That's kind of how it should be. This is how it should be. You can label it that way, but like we should be moving toward the artist benefiting mostly from their work instead of like a guy named Scooter.
Yeah.
I just don't like giving money to guys named Scooter. It's just not something I've done in the past, and it's not something I want to do in the future.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I'm just going to toss this out here. I will pay $50 a month for Spotify. I will pay $50 a month for Spotify if it means that the concert prices come back down to
it. It's not happening.
Because I can't, you know, I love you, Bad Bunny, but I'm not, I can't spend a Taylor brick on you, bud. Sorry.
I hit that resale market for the John Mayer concert this past week in Austin, and
RIP Bozo to your wallet.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the worst thing I've ever done, but it wasn't the best thing I've ever done. Sally asked me, she was like, between Dead & Company and John Mayer, how much money have we spent on John Mayer this year? And I was just like, that's a question I don't really want to go down. Once we start adding that up, it might get depressing.
Yeah.
So I'd appreciate if we just moved on from that and kept walking to the car from the John Mayer show.
Yeah. But all in all, great, great project. Great job, Taylor. You know, it's genius level stuff. What can I say?
It's killing me going to the record store lately and seeing like all the limited edition 1989s on the wall. And I'm just sitting here like, no, I just got to wait for the one to show up in my crib. Just waiting. It's like really, if you look at the map, it's really close to my hometown for some reason. And I'm like, why would it ship from up there? It makes no sense to me. Maybe there's a producer up there.
Middle of the country or something, you know? That's the zone where all the distribution centers and the warehouses are. They're all kind of middle.
I think I've memed it from retail therapy, but like I feel like every time I order some like a piece of clothing, it goes through Louisville, and I'm just sitting here
Louisville,
like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
I think I considered just going
Hebron,
to the UPS.
Hebron, Kentucky. That's another one that
I was just gonna go to the UPS location when I was waiting for my ascot to come in for the Kentucky Derby. I was just gonna show up there and be like, I need my ascot. Please give it to me. Welcome to Retail Therapy, everybody. If you're new here, here's how it's going to work today. You're going to listen to this and you're going to be like, wow, this was the best podcast I've ever heard. And then you're going to go read our listener companion on Substack, which you can find in the description of this episode. You're going to go subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/SundayScariesPodcast. And then you're going to follow us on Instagram at retail.pod. It's just a really beautiful thing. I was going to promote the New York and the Fall scented candle from VelaBox today, but I think there's only a few left, and I think by the time this episode drops, it'll be completely sold out. That being said, there might be something on the horizon for Retail Therapy heads out there. There might be something on the horizon, so just keep an eye out and follow along with us. And I will say the first people that will be hearing about this are going to be the Retail Therapy readers on the Listener Digest.
Okay,
so just know that going in. But before we get into today's content, let's talk about our friends over at Nutrafol. You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. You can get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. No drugs, no compromises. This stuff just straight up works. I have major concerns over my hairline lately. I never had them for a long time in my life, but...
Yeah. No, I need some of this.
As I inch closer and closer into my late 30s, it's just scaring me a little bit. And I will say that my wife, Sally, who's been on this podcast before, she's actually had a little bit of hair issues ever since pregnancy. And she's been on her Nutrafol game lately, and it's just been great. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Their hair growth nutraceuticals go beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle through whole body health. These are also physician-formulated using natural medical-grade ingredients, so Nutrafol's drug-free patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in their hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months, and they're trusted and recommended by over 3,000 top doctors. You too can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering promo code SCARIES to save $10 off your first month subscription. This offer is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get $10 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code SCARIES. Barrett, it's been tough.
Yeah, it's been a week.
On Sunday last week, I got a phone call from my wife, and she said, it's happening. The cold front is coming in. I opened up the doors to our place. I started unloading the wood from the back of her car, and it was just straight up fire season. If you really took a good whiff of me right now, Barrett, you'd smell fireplace on me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I smell smoky today.
Okay.
I smell a bit smoky.
Because you've just been burning.
Burning constantly, yeah. And then last night, knowing that it was probably our last opportunity to have a fire for a little bit, I burned all night, dude.
Yeah.
It was just all night. And so, you know, we went from 90s to lows in the 30s.
Are you chopping your own firewood out there?
Hell no. No. Yeah, from my apartment?
Yeah.
No, I don't think our condo would be very happy if we were doing that.
You can't just walk out the back and just start chopping down trees.
I guess I could. I don't think anyone's going to stop me at this point. Like, there's some, actually, I should probably be collecting some kindling out there from the park next door. It'd be a good place.
You know what? You got to, I don't know if you ever thought about this. Hey, let me give you business advice, Will. you did a Sunday Scaries podcast last year about like the charms of, you know, doing a fire.
It's the best.
You should just redrop that podcast. There's no reason to, you know,
that's true. That's right? True.
Just,
yeah.
Just pop that thing back out there.
Yeah. There is a special edition Sunday Scaries episode dropping today as
Dynamic
well.
Dynamic ads, Spotify gets you taken care of. Anyways, yes, as you were saying, it was. We plunged right into what I would call deep fall, or honestly, for Austin, what I would call winter.
Yes. It went from feeling summer temperatures to straight up winter Austin temperatures.
Yes.
Which is something we don't see a lot of. Like, usually there's a mid-range.
Right.
And I think through a conversation you and I had recently, it rattled both of us a little bit.
It rattled me to the bones. I was shook. It was not my proudest week of getting dressed, of outfits.
I don't like hearing this.
And I just, it's tough when you're just like, I need a little bit of look. They call it transitional weather for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're transitioning all of your things, your mentality, your vibes. The vibes have to shift. You know, well, your closet has to shift as well. I have to shift. I have to get back to the jeans that I'm wearing today. First time I've worn these jeans in like 7 months. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like there's fit migration, right? Like, I cannot believe how narrow these jeans feel today.
Mm-hmm.
When at one point these were straight up baggy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like all of this, plus there's extra layering. I can't get away with just like a shirt and a light jacket. I got to think about like probably some knitwear. Maybe it was that cold in a heavier jacket.
It's tough.
And then what paint, and then shoes, like, do I need boots now? Like, already, like, off top, I'm going straight into my boot catalog. Like, it was a mess. And I'm actually, this is going to be a surprise coming from me, but I'm actually looking forward to this return to the slight warm weather for a moment.
I'm not.
So that I can get my wits about me and recalibrate and do a little bit of, just do a little bit of research in my own closet. This podcast is all about doing research for me today. And
you're just doing your own research.
I'm
constantly
doing my own research constantly. And my next target is my closet, because I got to try some things on and I got to figure out what's what in there before next cold front comes through.
I walked into my closet on Monday morning and pretty much like paralysis by analysis, just sitting there looking at things, being like, I didn't think this through. There are several different factors that really rattled me. The first factor was what you talk, like just the temperature itself. Like, it wasn't like I got to put on pants and a long sleeve shirt. It was like, you have to put together several different layers right now, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Normally in that transitional weather, I can still do short sleeves outside for a little bit. No, I walked the dog on Monday morning and I was freezing cold with
the
short sleeves.
The first few days were, I mean, like I had a little bit of ice on my windshield.
It was brutal.
Walking out, yeah, yeah.
My second issue was that, and I'm about to actually talk about her, is that I had worn a lot of my long socks the week leading up and I had not done laundry on Sunday. So when I went into my sock drawer to look for my like premier new socks with my tonal colors, they just were dirty. And so I was like, oh no, like... I'm going to be showing ankle today.
You had to go with some no-shows in 41 degree weather.
It was ugly, yeah. Dude. And like, I'm looking at the Cut recently just posted a photo yesterday of Emrata. They said a chill in the air has entered the chat. It's Halloween has ended and weather said, okay, that was cute, but now it's time to put some clothes on. And people are just rattled because Emrata's not showing waistline right now. She's walking around in just a full-on robe and wired headphones in. Looking like the most Sunday scariest driven person I've ever seen.
Wow.
But then I had this, then the other issues that I had, Barrett, were purely stylistic. Because voluminous trousers have taken over my wardrobe And what I didn't realize was that I didn't have the tops to go with the voluminous trousers.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that you said recently that stuck with me was the need for a, not cropped, but a long shirt.
Yeah. Yes.
And all the shirts that I was putting on, I was like, okay, I look like I'm wearing my dad's clothes right now.
Yeah.
Like, I just look like a little kid.
You might have to try out a tuck.
So I did tuck.
Yeah.
I tucked for John Mayer. But then, like, I have so much green in my wardrobe that now that I've been inserting the plum, the purple, it's just been all over the map. And so I think I did end up, you know, working some things out and figuring some stuff out, but it wasn't as seamless as previous years.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that's, I think we've kind of, it's two-pronged, like we're saying. It was the severity of the initial cold front as well as the shifting vibes and the changing tides of what we're seeing in our wardrobes right now. I will add one thing that I think really threw me, Will, this week. It's that none of my Phoebe Philo had come in, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Right? Like, I had ordered one of each. They limited me to one. I could only buy one.
Did they limit one?
One of each. Now, I could get multiple sizes, right, you know, to try on because this does not exist in any physical retail locations at the moment. The only place you can get it is online. So they do allow you to buy multiple sizes of one item. But that's it. That's it. You cannot buy any more than that. And I just was pretty devastated that I didn't have my full Phoebe Philo wardrobe in yet this week.
Well, I mean, after No Coptober, yeah. I'm sure you saved so much money that now you can afford Phoebe Philo, where the average piece was 3,400 euro.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's pretty much fully sold out now. So
it was 70% as of when we put together this rundown, and it, based on what I just saw there,
it looks about 90-95%. Yeah, yeah. There, Phoebe did mention in that you know, New York Times wrote about this. One thing sticks out to me. If you're interested in the super, super high fashion stuff, just you should go read the article. But like this idea that they are, you know, that. Her explanation for why there's not very much of stuff is because, you know, they wanted to like balance the desire with, you know, being like green basically with like the burden of production.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on, just say you're running a scarcity model.
Yeah.
Just tell us that you're just building.
We know what you're doing.
Right?
We've all been there. It's like a good model.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need it gussied up with some, you know.
Don't drag Mother Nature into this.
Right, right. That you're like, oh, we're being careful on production because...
You're not being that careful.
Right. Like, you know, no. You just want to sell out everything and generate a secondary
I want to see how much plastic is in these boxes when they arrive.
But yeah, we got the Phoebe Philo stuff out there. And I don't have any of it. Will, speaking of No Coptober, I hate to break this to you, but it might be No Spender as well.
Stop! No Spender. No Spender's pretty good, actually. What was September?
Shit, what was September? No
Spend September?
No Spend September.
No Spend September, No Coptober, and then No Spendvember. Or no Spender. I can't. I've already been too bad of a boy.
Because here's the thing. I want to be clear for everybody. Like, it's not that I'm not spending money. It's just that all of my disposable income is going to other things. And I, this is just going to be a hobby horse of mine for the next 5 months probably, or 4 months at this point. But like, goddamn, weddings are expensive. And it's just like every month four figures are leaving my bank account for a variety of different things.
Have you considered the DeFreeze method of abandoning ships
yet?
Late.
It's far too late for that. It's far too late for that.
Yeah, unfortunately, your wedding date is the date that we abandoned ship and expedited to. So you can't expedite anymore. No, you're there.
We're there. So it's just like, you know, bachelor party, and I got to buy my tux next month. And there's just like, it's all stacking up. It's all adding up. I still need shoes. I need shoes for the wedding. So it's like, and so I probably will take advantage of some November sales.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of have to in this scenario.
For things like that. But it certainly is feeling very, very, very constricting as far as my fun money. But it's okay. It is giving me the much needed time that I need and the opportunity to do my own closet research, as I previously mentioned, and gear up for the next cold front. Because I'm telling you what, I'm going to be ready.
Have any pieces that you bought like in the spring on sale or last winter, have any of those emerged as a favorite for this fall?
So one I'm wearing today, it's I think I mentioned this on a pod a couple of months ago, but it's this reversed tee. It's mm-hmm. a long sleeve reverse tee from John Elliott. I got this one for absolute steal on eBay. And then I think I got this for free at the Dickies shop somehow, but, I'm wearing my Dickies jacket today, my Dickies Eisenhower jacket.
It's hardcore, dude.
It's like $40. So these are two pieces that I was, today is the day I feel best about, and I'm just very, very simply dressed. You know what I mean?
What's the fit today? I wanted to ask you, as far as this cold front went, like, what fit stands above?
Yeah, so the fit, I just named the two things, and then I'm wearing John Elliott denim and just Chucks, basically. But, one problem I have before I answer the question, I think, is that, and I don't know if you do this, but like the cold weather strikes and I'm looking at all my stuff, and instead of just immediately going to like the thing that I'm most excited to wear, I'm like, ooh, well, let me take a step back and what about this thing? I should probably give this a wear first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you do that? You know what I mean? It's like a variation of the buying something and then saving it for something really special.
Well,
it's like the same brand of that, but it's like it's the weather version where I'm like, ooh, but that might be better for a different day where it's slightly different weather or some bullshit like that.
I totally know what you're talking about. I almost did this the other night when I was getting dressed, and I almost holstered something, and I was like, Will, it's cold and you're going out. Like, just wear what you exactly want to wear instead of like trying to punt this to 3 days from now when it's not going to be as cold and you're not going to be able to do this. It's just, it's a difficult negotiation you have with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yesterday I tried to get, you know, I was inspired by Western Will and I tried to get a little giddy up in my,
I thought you had a little giddy up
in my steady up.
Are you willing to say what Laura said as when you asked for a review of the fit?
Yes. She said it was, and I quote, not terrible.
That's always what you want to hear when you're walking out looking for a little confidence boost.
I don't know if I was trying to do too much or what, but I had on I layered up. It was time that yesterday was the day where I really layered.
It was cold yesterday.
And I did like a little indigo long sleeve t-shirt, and like a flannel on top of that, and then like a Howler Brothers rounder vest, which has those big Western yokes on mm-hmm. top of that. And then I did that with like jeans and boots that kind of skew a little, they're not Western boots, but they kind of skew a little Western. And I was feeling okay about it, but I don't know. I don't know how, you know, it was a B. It was a solid B. I won't even go plus or minus. It was just like an 85 for me, I think. I think I scored a B.
I liked it.
Yeah?
I didn't think it was not terrible.
You okay?
Yeah.
What about you? What's been your?
I'm a little mad at myself because I put on my ideal fit, and I was like, "This is great. I feel great about myself. I'm going to the John Mayer concert tonight. We're going out to dinner beforehand. I'm looking to bop a little bit." And I got dressed and I wore several new things that I was excited to pair together. I had on the ALD. I had on the ALD Randy. God. The cowboy shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
That I paired with a tan shirt underneath it that was just simply meant to just be a layer and no one would ever see it that night. And then I went with some voluminous trousers from J. Crew that I think I might have called out on this recently. I got some of their like baggy fit pants just to see.
Baggy fit or giant fit?
Giant fit.
The giant fit.
They're huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of love them.
Yeah.
They feel really nice. They don't dry well in the dryer, which no J.Crew pants do. They always seem to wrinkle at the bottom of the leg.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, okay.
And so, like,
I just thought you meant they won't dry.
They won't dry. they wrinkle at the bottom of the leg no matter how, like, what temperature you try to dry them on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I paired those with some of the ALD socks that I got that I really liked that have really changed the way that I look at socks. Because they're not like flashy socks. They're just different colors. And I'm not usually a colored sock person. And so I hit him with some red socks. I kind of gave a little nod to the shirt.
Right, right.
The issue that I had was that I needed to wear comfortable shoes to this concert. And the way that the pants were like, in order to offset the volume of the pants, I cuffed them a little bit. And I couldn't wear my shoes with them because the laces didn't match with the socks. So then I was like, I need to wear some boots that are going to be able to be walkable.
What shoes were you thinking about?
I was wearing my Adidas Fucking Awesome collab,
yeah.
Which if they had the black laces in them, I could have done it. They had the orange laces with the red. It didn't work.
Got it.
So I was like, I can go cowboy boots, but I'm going to be walking a lot tonight. So I went Blundstones, but I had to change the pants from the cuffed pants to something else. It was just devastating. But for the first time, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, we're doing red, which I don't normally do.
Right.
I'm doing a little purple, which I don't normally do. And I'm doing some style things that I'm kind of going out of my comfort zone. And I liked it.
The what you're describing with the trying to get the pants and the shoes to all work together, you're officially like entering that's the fashion struggle boiled down.
It was tough.
That is what I spend probably the most time on, is trying to figure out the bottom quarter of the outfit. It's like the pants.
I didn't realize that buying new socks and new colors of pants was going to expose my shoe collection so much. I get shit from we have childcare that helps with Fritz a lot, and she gives me shit for how much for how many pairs of sneakers I have just sitting in our like mudroom. And it's fair, but like when I look at it now, I'm like, fuck, I don't have any sneakers. I need more sneakers right now. I need to figure this out so I have some casual shoes to wear with purple pants. It's just a struggle out here.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
What's the forecast say? Are we gonna get any more of this, or are we just done for November now?
I think we're done for November. It appears as though today we're gonna get a high of 74. Next highs are 79, 79, 80, 85, 87, and then it's next week around this time we'll be settling a little bit back into 64, 63, 75.
Okay, all right. See, I don't, you know, I'm okay with the type of weather where you have to shed the top layer in the afternoon. You know?
Yeah.
Because that gives me a little bit of time to batten down the hatches.
I can do that
and refocus.
Well, I need to use our next sponsor for our flights to Breckenridge so that I can start making sure that I'm getting absolutely fitted with the money that I have. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. I think we talked about them on the last episode.
I think we did.
It's the first of its kind real-time search engine for points, like Kayak or Google Flights, but for points. Point me. Shows people how to get the best flights using their credit card points or airline miles, and it breaks down every step of how they can move from one to the other. They're on a mission to get people better flights for fewer points and for people to stop wasting their points. I feel like I waste my points every time I use them. I need to start being better about it, and PointMe is the place to start. You can check for flights across 33 loyalty programs on more than 150 airlines to uncover a multitude of real-time award flight options, and PointMe runs extensive business rules and logic to validate that the flights you see on PointMe are flights you can actually book. It's easy to use. They walk you through every step of how to do the transfer from a credit card to an airline, all the way to booking, which is critical. At every touch point, they've asked themselves, could someone who's never used the points before use PointMe successfully? So there are a lot of educational moments and opportunities to build confidence and understanding. They're on a mission to make it as easy as possible for travelers to find the best deals no matter their loyalty program. Go check out PointMe. There's a link in the description of this episode. Make it happen. Stop wasting your money so you can spend it on clothes instead. Before the John Mayer concert, I went to a restaurant that is in Austin, Texas, called Bill's Oyster.
Yes.
It's owned by a friend of mine, and so I've been supporting it as much as I can. And I'm in my meat era right now. I'm no longer on the Mediterranean pescatarian diet.
Have you've given up the pescatarian?
I feel as though there's an internal vibe shift happening
with me. Right.
Once the weather gets cooler, I start craving meat.
Okay.
Like there's something about it where once the weather started going down, I was like, man, some chili sounds nice right now.
Beef stew.
Yeah, some steak. Yeah. Like, and it's been so long. And I was, I've been hearing nothing but good things about the burger at Bill's Oyster.
Okay.
So I was like, I got to get a burger. And just like how I'm kind of shifting.
Dare I ask, Will? Is it a smash burger?
It's a smash burger.
Okay.
Double patty smash burger, baby.
It had to be.
It had to be.
I'm glad. Yeah, I was scared to ask because I didn't want the answer to be no.
No, it had to be a smash burger.
Okay. All right.
It is currently number two in my rankings of burgers for the year. I've had 4 cheeseburgers this year, and it's number 2 on my rankings. It might emerge as number 1 if I have another one this year, just because I did have a great experience.
Remind me what current number 1 is.
It's actually Clark's Oyster Bar, seafood restaurant in Austin. Yeah, yeah. And I think there's his number 1 in my list because I was just craving a burger so badly that day that it just felt good.
Okay.
But in the same internal vibe shift that I was having, I no longer wanted to order a martini for some reason. I was like, I'm feeling the whiskey train right now.
Well, it was a chilly night, Will.
It was a chilly night. We were seeing John Mayer. Yeah. He loves whiskey, water. And so maybe that was just the vibe I was hitting. But I'm also entering my whiskey era. My dad was also in town this week, and he's a whiskey drinker. And so I was just drinking whiskey. And now I'm looking at the drink of the fall and with a whole new lens now.
Is your dad, is he like pouring up a little finger of bourbon at night? What's he doing? Yeah.
He is. Yeah. In the summertime, it's gin. And then in the wintertime, it's whiskey.
Okay.
And I see a little bit of myself and my dad in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's hard to not drink whiskey when I'm with him because he wants to pour it up.
Right.
I want to pour it up.
Sure.
I think I've talked on here. I don't really drink liquor in my liquor cabinet at home as much as I want to. So I just throw the doors open and say, have at it.
Yeah.
Drink the good stuff. I ordered it was called a Christmas Club. When I see the word Christmas in the name of a cocktail, I usually gravitate toward it, especially when I'm doing my research for Drink of the Fall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was delightful. It was essentially just a Manhattan, which I don't usually drink Manhattans. I know that you said if you're drinking whiskey, you prefer it a Manhattan. Is this correct?
That's my whiskey / bourbon drink of choice. Yes. And it is also kind of like my de facto drink of the fall or default drink of the fall,
okay.
I should say.
Okay.
Like when the weather turns and I'm out, I'm kind of like you were saying, like I kind of drop off the martini train and that's my winter martini is a Manhattan basically.
I've never been a Manhattan guy. The first time I ever drank Manhattans was in the middle of a hot summer day. We were doing a farewell trip from one of my buddies who was moving, and we decided to drink Manhattans at about 3 in the afternoon, and none of us remember what happened after that. And so I've stayed away from Manhattans for a very long time.
Yeah.
Maybe even 12 years I haven't had one. I absolutely loved it. Now all I want to do is modify Manhattans and mix and match and see what's going on.
So the Christmas Club was a version of a Manhattan.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. What was the twist?
I don't think there was much of a twist. I think it was just called the Christmas Club.
Okay.
But so I started researching different ways that you can make it Christmassy. And what I found was that people are making Manhattans with cranberry in them, just a little splash, a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
People are doing mulled vermouth, which kind of seems like a vibe. Randy, I feel like you could mull some stuff with your mead.
If I knew what that verb meant, sure.
I think it just means that you put spices, cinnamon sticks, oranges, whatever, and you soak it, and then you strain it, and then do it.
I had some mulled wine at the Ren Fair, and let me tell you, it was delicious.
There you go. Yeah, mulled wine is, that for me falls out of the fall drink, and it goes straight to winter.
Straight to winter.
That's like you're walking down the street on a wintry night, and there's an open house, and people are having mulled wine.
Well, and you know, people do the they. You ever been to somebody's house around the holidays or for a party, and they're doing the thing where they put all the they're mulling on the stove just to create the Christmas scent?
Oh yeah, that was big last year. I'm surprised we didn't talk about that more.
And I think you're just doing that in water. But it's like the cardamom and the orange and the like all that stuff that you're technically mulling it.
Yeah. That got really popular last year. Like the practice of doing that. Sally actually did it one time. I think it was right around Christmas. Like she just said, okay, we're making this place smell like Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are also doctoring their simple syrup and putting pecan liqueur into their Manhattans. So I'm going to go on a Manhattan journey, I think.
Well, that's interesting. I do like the sound of it, but one of the reasons why I prefer a Manhattan to an old fashioned is because there's no simple syrup in a Manhattan.
Yeah.
In a classic Manhattan, there's no addition. There's no, you don't get that extra added sugar, basically, which I'm happy to kind of pass up when I can.
I'm glad you brought up old fashions because old fashions, I feel like if you're like a post grad and you're at like a cocktail bar and you look at the menu, I feel like so many guys just default to an old fashioned because it's a palatable way to drink like a strong whiskey drink.
It definitely has a connotation for me. And it's not even post-grad. It's really like the first cocktail I feel like guys at the end of college learn to order at like a steakhouse. You know what I mean? Like you go to the big steakhouse with your date maybe, or, and that type of thing. And it's like, what are you drinking? And you know, you get the cocktail before the wine comes and it's like, I'll have an old fashioned.
I'll have an old fashioned. Actually, I'll take a wine glass as well for when the wine comes too.
But I remember like, you know, in our post-grad years and towards the end of college, we would end up at the bar in the Driscoll quite often.
Yes.
And it was just like old fashioned city in there. Like they couldn't churn them out fast enough because all the fellows were just guzzling Manhattan. I mean, were just guzzling old fashions. And yeah, so it does. It's like, it has a bit of a look. Old fashions are great. They taste good, but it does have a, this connotation of almost like a rookie drink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's not, I don't think it's even fair to have that connotation to it, but that's what it is at this point for me. And I'm so gun shy to like order them now because I'm like, like there's probably better cocktails on the menu that I could get that aren't like just the same cocktail that I've had a million other times because I've been default ordering them at nice steakhouses or swanky bars since I was young.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why that's why I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that I was kind of, I was a bit taken with Selena Gomez's order on Only Murders in the Building of a Mezcal Old Fashioned.
Yeah.
That feels like a nice little smoky, you know, cool weather twist on it. So I've not yet gotten to attempt this. I've not tried a Mezcal Old Fashioned.
I'm going to do one this weekend.
Historically, I'm not even a Mezcal guy.
But I'm doing one this weekend.
But look.
I might do one tonight.
I'm going to say it again. Vibes can shift.
I'm going to a steakhouse tonight, and I might order a Mezcal Old Fashioned just to see what it's all about.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm gonna put on the list of early drink of the fall contenders, Manhattans / doctored Manhattans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to put on Mezcal Old Fashions. And then I think we got to open it up to the listeners to throw us some cocktails. The thing is, with drink of the summer, drink of the fall, whatever it is, like there's so many things that fall into the category that could work. But for me, it has to be something that is simple to make, obvious that it's for that season, and just people need to be ordering them at rapid clips. And so I think we might need to just do some scene research and just get out there and just start like overlooking people ordering at bars.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at what's on the menu. I had a nice experience at a relatively new restaurant in Austin recently called Elementary. Great cocktail menu.
Okay.
Really, really fun cocktail menu that has some, I think maybe that's a good little starting point to look at some things. Wild espresso martini there that like has like, I can't remember the twist on it, but it's good.
I mean, maybe Carajillos should be on the menu here.
Sure. That does seem to be, that's a great call. That seems to be simmering.
I talked about Carajillos on Sunday Scaries and right before we ended Scaries for a little bit. And I've been seeing it pop up. People have been sending things about it. Here, let me just put it, it's Liquor 43.
Liquor 43, yeah.
And just espresso, I think. Yeah, espresso and Liquor 43. It's served on ice, and I have to say, it's delightful.
Yeah. How do you feel about rum in the winter? I feel like we kind of cordon it off as like a summer, you know, tiki beachy liquor. But I feel like we could do some damage in the winter with a little dark rum.
I don't think you're wrong here.
Yeah.
My dark rum experience is usually with dark and stormies.
Right. Yeah.
But I was talking to somebody who knows a lot about like high-end liquors and stuff like that. And he was telling me that the rum market is starting to spike a little bit, that people are really liking getting like high-end rum,
yeah,
which is not something that I've typically ever thought of buying. The only things I typically think of buying like expensive bottles of are like whiskey or scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Like with vodka or gin, I'm always just like whatever's mid-range that's not going to make someone like balk if they try to do it. We got research to do.
Stay tuned for more. Yeah, we do.
I think we might need to call this before Thanksgiving so that Thanksgiving can be off to the races. Wow.
Okay. All right. I think I'm not sure how much opportunity I'm going to have to do research this weekend. I think it might be more of a beer weekend, but we are coming back around to that time. You know what it is? It's lager season.
It is lager season.
You know,
it's also Guinness season right now.
Sure. But I bought a six pack of Peroni.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually meant to bring over to a little pizza party. But now I've just been drinking them myself, and I can't. There's a lot of Peronis, a lot of Stellas in my future. Is what I'm telling you.
I like that you're riding for the lager train.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that. Can we talk about a new app that's popped up? I know you've been big on Threads. You've just always been on Threads. You're
always
still threading.
On Threads. Well known that it's my favorite social media app. Yeah, yeah.
Well, another one's popped up. It's number two in the App Store. Laps. Have you downloaded this app or have you used this app? Have you heard of anyone using this app?
Never heard of it until you put it on the rundown.
Okay.
So
that, I saw some things bubbling up of people being like, why is this getting popular now? Like, didn't we know with Be Real that this would not work? Like, what's going on? Did you ever use Dispo?
No.
Dispo was an app that is essentially a disposable camera for your phone. And you would take a photo, like one photo a day with Dispo. You'd put it up there. You couldn't edit anything. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't take any photos from your camera roll and put it on there. And then Dispo kind of like fell off a little bit. And then I feel like Be Real came in and kind of took all Dispo's like charm. And now from my personal experience on Be Real, people just aren't being real enough these days. And now Laps has come in and it says, I'll just read you from the New York Times article. It says, Laps, a photo app with the tagline, friends, not followers. It had its launch in 2021, but after a release, it shot to number two in the United States App Store, much like Dispo. Laps encourages people to take pictures the way they did in analog days when disposable cameras were all the rage. Users snap photos and, quote, develop them in the app. When photos are ready several hours later, they can the takers can decide if they want to post them in their Laps friends or archive them for private viewing. All photos posted on Laps must be taken in the app and it cannot be altered in any way. There are no visible like counts. Instead, friends only react with emojis. Why don't you just buy a digital or a disposable camera? Like, I know it's cost money to buy a disposable camera, but like, I feel like Instagram has been such a major player in the photo posting game. And now that people are just posting their analog photos on Instagram, like, I just feel like an app like this should not be popular with people unless you're like Gen Z and you don't have any money or Gen Alpha or whatever it is. You can't afford a camera.
Well, buying a disposable camera. Or doing like the little digital point and shoots, which also are kind of having a resurgence, still gives you the opportunity to doctor and edit, et cetera.
True.
When once you load them, do the whole thing, and then put them, you know, naturally on Instagram, whereupon you're just like you're entering back into the, you know, the like fray, mm-hmm. basically. You're gunning for the likes and for this to be seen by the masses. So I kind of understand the intention of these upstart apps to bring us back to something smaller, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. You know, with the this Times article kind of references old school Instagram, right? Like original Instagram.
Original
which
Instagram
exclusively
was
exclusively a photo sharing app.
Yeah.
I mean, I just could not get enough of the lo-fi filter. Everything I posted, lo-fi.
Just everything lo-fi?
Everything lo-fi. Remember the borders? Like, it was absolutely insane.
Hindsight's 2020, but like, I would like to give myself a very big pat on the back for always, quote, removing border. I hated doing the borders for some reason, and I'm really glad that I can go back to my original photos and be like, I didn't do it. Yeah. I didn't put the border up.
Yeah. So like, you know, I get the nostalgia and the desire to return to something a little bit simpler, a little bit less curated and edited and corporate, really, right? Because so much of what we see on Instagram now is just brands and advertising. And,
well, same with like TikTok. Like TikTok is so product and brand heavy.
Yeah.
Same with Instagram. Instagram's the exact same way. I wouldn't know if Facebook is at this point because I only log in once a month.
So like, I don't know, like this is telling me that I got to be invited to Laps by somebody that already has it. Do you have it?
No, if we have any squad members out there that want to get the Retail Therapy Boys to skip the line, we'd really appreciate that.
I mean, how is it number two on the,
I don't know.
On the
I
app
don't
store
know.
If you need an invite, but
I don't
like,
know.
Yeah, I'm down to try it. I like the, I enjoy the idea of this kind of like faux disposable camera. That's piquing my interest a little bit. You know, so I could get behind something that's a little, that's not so specific like Be Real was. Like, it has to be right now, and then it's gonna take like the front and the back photo, and like as a 36-year-old that spends most of his weekdays just working, it's just mm-hmm. what, and then like most of his evenings,
it's all just
cooking
people
and sitting
at work.
On the couch. Like what, you know?
That's what it is. Right. That's all it is at this
point.
So
what? Why do I want that? Like, I need a little bit more curation than that.
How do you feel about hiding the like count? Because I feel like there's something to hiding the like counts on Instagram that people are hiding that I don't really like identify with. I feel like even if you're hiding the like counts, you're still personally looking at how many, like, I always just assume the people that hide it are still looking at how many likes they get.
Well, okay,
so or they're embarrassed that they're not getting enough likes to like.
Is that information available? If you hide like count, you can still see the likes?
I would assume you could. I don't know.
Yeah,
I truly have no idea.
That is interesting.
I kind of, right? Like, there's part of me that's like, I love when someone turns off the like counts, but there's also part of me that's like, man, is that person insecure? Like, are they doing this out of a place of insecurity? I don't want them to feel bad about not getting too many likes.
Yeah.
I'm more likely to like someone's photo if it says and others, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pile on here. I'm going to hit them with this.
Well, when you hide like count, that's all it says is blunt, it's like so-and-so and others. So you're saying hiding like counts makes you...
I feel the overthinker in me feels like the person that hides the like counts isn't doing it as like a social media statement. Uh-huh. They're doing it because they're worried they're not getting enough likes. So I just mash that like button for them. I want the whole squad to eat. That's a beautiful photo, Barrett.
First ever Instagram photo. You can see here, speaking of, zero likes on this photo.
See...
It's the first thing I ever posted.
That's not a bad first photo, though.
Bordered and lo-fied to death, I might add. Bring me back. Take me back.
Okay. You're forcing me to go down.
Shouts to Vintage in Houston, by the way. RIP Vintage in Houston, where I'm sure you spent an evening or two, Will.
I don't know. That doesn't sound familiar. Do I need to go?
Vintage?
Dude, someone asked me for Houston Rex the other day, and I was like, you don't want it from me anymore. Like, I was in the scene 6 years ago in Houston. I can't speak.
How about
to
this
anything
number,
now.
Will?
Wow.
Just a Jeep guy from the beginning.
Dude, you were already on your Joun shit early. You're on that Joun mood board.
The rounded corners.
corners. That's a beautiful border. A
little speckle, make this thing look old school and vintage, you know, just a real,
oh, you're not
a real
gonna,
treat of a photo.
What was the date for your first ever?
That was June 11th, 2011.
Oh, see, you were ahead of me on here because my first was June 1st, 2013. I'm texting you mine right now if you want to toss it on the screen. Okay. I am very happy with my first ever photo.
While I cue this one up, I'm going to blow your mind with one that I took just a few weeks later here in June of 2011.
I mean, this just took me back to like a version of my brain that I forgot existed. Like, I feel like I can hear like early Chainsmokers happening. I feel like I'm clicking the like button on Tumblr. Like, I feel like I'm on Hype FM trying to find the next cool playlist.
Ooh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
I,
yeah.
This like brings me a lot of joy here.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's pull up Will's here.
Do you not have iMessage on your lappy?
I don't. Sorry. I'm not about that life. Yeah. Yeah.
I respect that. It's a huge waste of memory on your computer. It really tanks the performance.
Here we go. And boom. Yeah.
Are we happy with this first Instagram?
Very happy. Beautiful, beautiful scenescape here.
I definitely used a stock filter for this. So I was not on my Visco grind yet. Yeah.
Look, all in 2013, just a couple years later, everybody's commenting and like,
I know, huh? Seeing 34 likes on that, I was pretty happy with that number compared to you getting zero, but you were an early mover. You shifted the vibe way too early. I don't know. If someone invites me to Lapse, I will make an account and I will download it, but I just don't see myself going all in on another app at this point. Yeah. I spend way too much time on Twitter and Instagram to like just have something else in the rotation.
By the way, audio only listeners are punching air right now. So if you want to see all the beautiful Instagrams from over a decade ago that we just shared, you got to check us out on YouTube.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. It's in the description of the episode, by the way.
Yes. Okay. Wait, what did you just say? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah, another app. Yeah. The only thing, and like, look, some of this is just, we just have to live with and it just is what it is. But like, are we our parents on Facebook now? Like, are we just like
I think so.
Clutching on to Instagram in a way that like all the Gen Zs and then alphas beneath them will just be like, Instagram?
Do you know what app Gen Z's using at like a rapid clip right now?
It's Snapchat, because I saw it all over ACL. I would look down
and see a young person next to me, and 90% of the time they were on Snapchat.
Apparently they're using, in addition, Snapchat is also as a correct answer. Apparently they're using Pinterest at a crazy clip too.
Huh.
Which I can't believe that. Like, is it like a bit? Like, do they look at Pinterest as like a dinosaur thing that they're like being analog because they're going back to like Pinterest? I just feel like no one uses Pinterest anymore.
That's interesting.
But they're apparently like keeping it alive. Do you think Jacob Elordi's on Pinterest?
Ooh.
If he is, I want to follow.
He's probably, he probably is like on our burner account. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. He's just pinning stuff.
But I recently found a celebrity burner account.
You'd never know it.
I found a celebrity burner account.
Okay.
And I know it's a celebrity burner account.
On Pinterest?
No, on Instagram.
Okay.
I was on someone's profile and I went back and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot they're friends with this famous person. And then I clicked on the thing and they tagged the burner account. And I was like, oh, yep. And then I saw some plus ones from certain celebrities out there that have like someone's wife was following. And I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely his burner. It's a funny name too. I'm going to show you after. I don't want to expose him though, because that would be rude. We need to talk about Lordy real quick. I don't know if you sent this. You posted this on the Instagram story for Retail Pod, right?
I did. This one was, I couldn't let it go. It had to be commented on in the moment because it was so relevant to some things we've been talking about. Namely, Jacob Elordi and dudes being slutty while reading books.
I want to talk about every single part of this fit right now. This is an airport fit, which airport fits make me happy in general.
Right.
Let's just start at the top. Yeah. I love when there's embroidery on the side of a hat.
Yeah.
It just makes it look like you got this hat from somewhere official. Are you surprised that Jacob Elordi is a Beats by Dre guy?
Yes and no.
Like, is this a sponsored thing? Is he sponsored by Beats by Dre, or is he just into Beats by Dre? I figured he'd have like some Bang & Olufsen things going or something.
Well, I thought you were, kind of referencing the fact that he's not wearing AirPod Max.
Well, AirPod Max seems the most obvious choice.
It's almost too on the nose for him.
I think the most obvious. I think the thing that would fit him the most would be wired headphones. Wired Apple headphones. Like, that just seems like what all the people are doing now.
Yeah. I'm okay with the Beats here.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. I've never used Beats, so I don't have any reference point. I was just surprised that he was a Beats guy over other headphones.
I feel like the Beats are bringing him back down to earth a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm 6'5" and a gorgeous Hollywood movie star, and all of my clothes are sick, and oh, by the way, look how many books I'm reading. But it's chill. I'm wearing Beats.
Dude, I'm wearing Beats. I'm just like you.
I'm wearing Beats, man.
I got them on Target. Like, I'm cool. Until you get down. How much do you think his leather jacket costs? That's just like patched up through the roof.
So I think his leather jacket is by a brand called Avarex. And so I do not think that this, my guess is that this one is not quite reaching the designer level prices, like $5,000 or $6,000 for a leather jacket. I imagine that this one was probably closer to $2,000. But okay. I could be way off with that. Before we skip down
to the main event,
to main events though, I do want to mention the hat, because the hat is by a brand called Pally Hollywood. It's famous creator, designer, what have you, is James Franco.
Oh, really?
And the hat. That this particular hat is like extremely hard to get. They almost never drop. They resell for $700 or $800, and it's the James Dean Death Cult hat, which you've probably seen on some other celebrities before. But
is Pally Hollywood doing everything they can to not have people know that James Franco's in charge here?
It's hard to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no clue that he was involved.
James Franco seems to be a dude that still has, like, while his career has certainly like hit the skids because of the, you know, because of the accusations and the things that he's,
I'm not up to date enough to know what's going on.
Yeah,
with James
I won't step too far into the waters because I don't have a super good handle on it either. But he still has lots and lots and lots of Hollywood friends. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still very.
Oh yeah,
he's a big. He's yeah. Yeah,
and I think when he was going through the rough PR patch, I think they were also supporting him too. I like James. James is fine with me.
So I think the public kind of is out on James Franco, and potentially for very good reason. But he's super well connected still, and hanging out with lots of big Hollywood people. But
he's the one I see wearing this hat all the time.
He's worn it a couple of
James Franco death. Should we just make a James Franco death call?
That's actually not a terrible idea.
Yeah, but so just an interesting little nod, because he probably like got this hat. Like, I would imagine that James Franco handed him this hat. Is
probably
my guess.
Probably. Yeah. Hey, what's your address? Yeah. Sending you a gift.
Okay. Yeah. Leather jacket, patched up, very cool. Did Elordi single-handedly bring back the moto style biker leather jacket?
Yeah.
Or is it more is it more of an instance where it's like, I'm Jacob Elordi, therefore I can still rock this, and you're going to be like, God damn, that's a good looking leather jacket.
I'm just going to say that I think he brought it back. Like, I'm okay. If somebody wants to wear it because they saw it on Jacob Elordi, I'm okay with that. I'm like, all right, I respect what you're doing over here. Is the sluttiest move done in 2023 putting a novel in the cargo pocket of your green pants?
It is. And I also want to give a shout to a retail, it's going to be a kind of a sorry, it's not a very good shout. Somebody DM'd us, either me or Retail Pod, after we talked about thirst trapping by reading on social media, and was like, how do y'all feel about books in like your back pocket? Like, sent an Instagram of somebody with a book just kind of like a paperback kind of folded up in their back pocket almost. And so that guy is
run through.
I saw it and I remember it. And you were onto something, because only a week or two later, here comes Jacob Elordi strolling through the Sydney airport with prima facie or whatever it is, just hanging out his cargo pocket. Actually, he's holding prima facie.
If anyone asks me for book recommendations in the next, like, people ask Sunday Scaries for book recommendations all the time when I do like an AMA or something, as if I read. I don't read nearly enough to have any recommendations. Now I'm just going to look up Jacob Elordi book photos and just recommend what he's reading and just be like, yeah, prima facie, or however you say it. I don't even know.
I actually just looked it up, because this is another one that I'm sure we get called out on. Prima facie.
Prima facie.
Facie. Facie?
I don't know, dude. Why
are pronunciations so difficult?
Prima facie. Okay.
Prima facie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was our second producer.
That should just be a recurring segment on the podcast, is pronunciation zone or pronunciation corner.
Yeah, things I've been scared of lately. Well, after you posted that, I'm digging the boots in this too, by the way. He's got way too much heel for a guy that's already like 6'4".
Yeah. Here's another shot of him.
He's a carry-on boy.
He is a carry-on
boy.
Shout
out to my king.
He's kind of bringing... Look, the boots are another thing that... I think this is a pretty classic boot that's never all the way out. But this style of kind of like military-adjacent, like full-on, like lace-up, like curved toe boot has also been... kind of out of favor recently.
That's how hot he is. He can just do it and make us like fawn over him right now.
He's so tall, Will.
He's so tall. Well, after you posted this, I did an AMA on the Scaries page, and someone said FMK, F Mary Kill, for those at home who don't play inappropriate games on car rides. Jacob Elordi, Paul Mescal, Miles Teller. At the time, I was like, I'm not answering this question. This is too difficult. And then as I started thinking about Jacob Elordi's fit here, it's like, okay, he's really rising to the top right now.
Yeah.
And I think we need to play this game real quick and do this, because I have my answer.
I've got mine too. Do you want to go first?
I can go first. I'm marrying Paul Mescal.
All right.
He's kind of torturous in normal people, but like I kind of think I need to marry a tortured soul in a way in this respect. And like, I'm effing Elordi. Like, he's my weekend boyfriend, I guess, in this scenario. And then I don't want to kill Miles Teller, but from the retail therapy perspective, Miles just doesn't have it like that. Like, I can't stand the guy wearing the same hat on vacation or wearing like his like sponsored drink on vacation. Like, I just can't. From a retail therapy perspective, Miles, I'm sorry, but you got to go, my man. I love you. I want to bro out with you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm okay. I'm glad that we're gonna have different answers here, because I went in a slightly different direction. I'm killing Elordi.
You're just murdering.
I'm murdering Elordi. He's too hot. He's too tall. He's too fashionable. Will, the guy. I mentioned this on the Instagram post. Not only is he holding a book in each hand, with the book in the cargo pocket, but You have to notice that the book in his cargo pocket also has a pen clipped to the outside.
Swag.
He's annotating. He's annotating the books that he's reading. He's taking notes. And maybe he's starring in a film based on the book that's in his pocket or something like that. So he's like doing research for a role or whatever.
He doesn't research roles.
But I don't think so.
No,
I
because think, based I on what he said, like, about his Elvis performance, when they asked him his inspiration for the Elvis performance and how, like, his exposure to Elvis, instead of like going full Austin Butler and not talking to his family for 4 years, instead he just said that he knew it from Lilo and Stitch, with which Randy can confirm. Elvis plays a major player in that movie?
Oh yeah, he's a big player.
I mean, and as we just continue to break down this outfit, right? Like, he's got the Rimowa suitcase. He's got the brand new millionaire bag, the Pharrell's Louis Vuitton, like first Louis Vuitton big time bag. Like, he's, you're just in this guy's shadow no matter what, right? He's just, if like.
Oh yeah. So like, you'd be the Travis Kelce to the Taylor Swift if
right.
you're with Lordy.
You're never gonna look good next to him. You're never gonna be as fashionable. You're never gonna have as many cool things. So it's just like he's just gotta go. I'm marrying Miles Teller for all the reasons that you just said. He's just a salt of the earth guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
remember
true.
The Bud Light commercial? Remember how nice of a time he's having with his wife?
Just no, like, I don't remember the
just
Bud Light commercial.
Dancing around the couch, drinking Bud Lights while waiting for the phone people to the phone.
I don't remember this commercial at all.
You did not see the Miles Teller Bud Light commercial.
It was set to dance with somebody.
I famously zone out during commercials. I can't recall a single popular commercial outside of Whopper, 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 Whopper from the last year.
Okay. Well, just Google the Bud Light hold commercial, and don't show Sally, because she probably is going to be upset that you're not as cute and as fun.
Okay, hold on. I've seen screenshots from this commercial. I've at least seen screenshots. Shout out Kelly.
But yeah, the fact that he's on vacation, just drinking long drinks and wearing crappy shoes and his hat doesn't fit. That's just, thanks, man. Like, I'm gonna have a chance. I'm gonna have a little bit of an opportunity to shine, even though you're also very tall and good looking.
It's true.
You know
it's
what
true.
I mean?
See, I was going at this from like a perspective of like they're like the person I marry is gonna take care of me, not just me hanging out with them all the time. But like now that you're saying that, like, I could go to Dead concerts with Miles Teller for the rest of my life. That'd be enjoyable.
Yeah. And I'm fucking Paul Mescal with that sexy ass earring and his little mullety haircut.
Dude,
and
did you see people were
his
loving
big, his big quads?
People were loving the teardrop quad drop on the quads. TL this week.
Yeah, yeah.
What was his sweatshirt that people were liking too?
Claro. Fuck. C-L-A-I-R-O. Claro?
Claro? I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends where it's from.
I think that's a band. I think that's a musician.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar.
It's an American singer-songwriter.
Okay. That seems like a slutty move, even though I don't even know what it sounds like.
Very. Mm-hmm. I believe that she exists very much in that similar boy genius Phoebe Bridgers world. I think. Sign me up.
Yeah. I'm like one like emotional night away from buying some Phoebe Bridgers vinyls. So just sign me up. You know what pair well with the Phoebe Bridgers vinyl? Some Early Bird CBD.
Ooh.
Early Bird gummies are a recreational hemp product that contain around 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and around 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy. These things are formulated for fun and to make you feel good. These guys are based out of Austin, Texas. I've been seeing them around town all over the place lately, whether you're in a restaurant, whether you're at a hotel and it's on your pillow as you're going to bed, or if you can just buy it, you can buy it at pharmacies here now. It's everywhere, but you can also order it online. These things are awesome. They give you a little bit of buzz before you hit the town. They've got just the microdose of THC that makes you feel good without getting too lit. They're just great. You can have them to have a little fun. You can take them to wind down at night. You can take them right before you go to sleep, and I promise you'll have a good night's sleep if it's anything like mine. These guys are great. You can get 20% off of your first purchase with promo code WICKS at earlybirdcbd.com. That's WICKS. Much like on your scented candle at earlybirdcbd.com. All right, before we get to wish list items, we've got a couple things to talk about here.
Okay.
Let's start off with Canoe Club.
Yes.
Can we divulge what's happening here?
Sure, let's divulge.
We're doing a little home and home next week with the Canoe Club guys. And they've kind of been all over my feed the last 24 hours.
This has been a big popular drop from them.
They didn't tell us about this, right? You might have known about this.
No, they did.
They did?
They dropped a little hint about this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea what it was going to be, but they did mention that they were collaborating with Engineered Garments.
I want. After seeing your Dickies coat today, too, and like seeing these in a similar vein, I'm like, okay.
Nice little full getup, by the way.
Do you know
you want to go? You're going to go matching. You're going to go top and bottom matching on the blue or the black kit here.
See what I want. I need something. I like that the jacket is like more of a cropped feel, so mm-hmm. I can wear it with my voluminous trousers.
Right.
Because right. what the issue that I have right now is that all the jackets that I have are long and like almost pinch where the trousers right. trend voluminous.
Yeah.
And so like these jackets are like perfect for us. I'm sure we'll talk at length with them about this collaboration next week, but just keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for that.
Indeed. Yeah.
Maybe I will just go matching blue on blue. I'm out of my black on black era. I can't go with my Steve Jobs grind anymore. I've been trying to just splash color in my wardrobe as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. I feel you on that, but I think I'm black here. I'm feeling the black.
I think the black would fit better with my overall wardrobe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But good stuff, and I'm looking forward to talking to them about this.
Some other stuff in the pipeline. We talked about it early in the episode. Yes, Barrett and I have our Skims orders are completed. One of us has gotten their order. The other one has not gotten their order.
That's right. It's me. I've not gotten my order.
I got mine last night. I tried them on before I put them in my hamper so I could get the first wash in. Right, I don't want to wear them straight out. I don't know what's been in that Skims
factory. That's an important thing to remember. When you buy underwear, you decide you're keeping them, you got to wash them first.
I have some concerns.
Uh-oh.
Maybe I had too high of a expectation for these.
Here.
Maybe I could have sized up. I don't know if that would have helped the issues that I'm having. My official review is that I don't think they're going to replace my traditional boxers.
Wow.
And I'm not happy about this. I was really looking forward to these. They've been talked about so many times. I will say that I got the 3-inch Onyx boxer briefs.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are 5-inch boys?
No. I prefer even shorter, like a full-on trunk. Like it's usually probably like 1 or 2 inch.
So oh, okay.
I'm actually worried that they're going to be too long for my leg.
Oh, okay. Randy, what were you... Did you have...
I'm more of a boxer boy in general, but with shorter shorts, I have to go 3-inch.
Okay. I guess maybe I need to try something that wasn't the 3-inch, but they were much more constricting than I originally anticipated. I don't know why I didn't think about this before they arrived, but like they are just cotton.
Yeah.
It's a nice cotton. Mm-hmm. It is a nice feeling cotton.
Yeah.
Out of the box, I was like, okay, we're in a good place now. The waistband is thicker than the waistbands that I'm used to. Okay. My point of reference right now is the Lululemon boxers that are kind of
boxers
almost,
or boxer briefs?
Boxer briefs.
Okay.
That are almost more, they're a little thinner and a little less constricting. These felt very constricting to me, which was not what I was looking for.
Okay.
And so I think I might need to wear them out for a night and see.
Yeah.
The other issue that I was having with it is that the two pairs of pants that have been in my rotation the most lately have been higher waisted. These seem to have a lower rise than my traditional boxer briefs that I've been wearing.
Got it.
And so with the higher waist, I felt them like riding down
right.
as I was walking around the house and doing stuff. And that concerns me. I'm going to take them for a test spin tonight while I'm doing my fall drink research.
Okay.
But we'll see how this pans out.
I'm less concerned now that you've voiced your concerns, because everything that you're saying sounds pretty close to like what I'm used to.
I think think there's a large contingent of people out there who have differing views on boxer briefs than I do. And I think that these might fall into a good wheelhouse for those people.
I mean, this is something that's a very, you know, it's probably the most personal clothing choice that you make in a day, right?
It is. Like, well, dude, it's like no one else is going to see them. So if they're not comfortable, why are you even wearing them? What's the point?
We did both go for the cotton though. And I did that primarily because I've got a drawer full of MeUndies, which I also really like, mm-hmm. but all those are like the Modal Elastane blend. So I feel like I've just got my bases covered on that kind of like slightly smoother synthetic feel.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to evaluate the cotton ones first. But they do, the other type is that more like synthetic. It's a Modal blend.
Yeah.
So if cotton's not your bag, then maybe the other ones are for you. And then I'll just say anecdotally, in all of my little style realms and online discussions, like the brands that always pop up that people talk about, MeUndies, which I just name dropped,
mm-hmm.
Lululemon,
mm-hmm.
always comes up, always. And then like I typically have really good luck with, or have historically had good luck with Calvin Klein stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear about Tommy John a lot.
Yeah, I've never done Tommy John.
I personally can't get over the hump of having the brand name Tommy John on my underwear.
Fair.
It's just, I'm just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's just weird to me. I like, and you're like, oh, well, you wear Calvin Klein, but not Tommy John. Yeah, because Calvin Klein is like a historically, like, that.
Calvin Klein underwear ads are like the most iconic ads you can
have. It just exists. Like, that's a brand name that makes sense on your underwear.
They got Bieber out there just looking like a snack.
Right, exactly.
And probably like women
too. Tommy John, he's not doing it for me the same way.
No, it doesn't hit the same as Calvin Klein.
Sorry, Tommy, but I don't want your name on my drawers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, wish lists?
Well, the final thing I'll say about these two is that I do have, I don't have teardrop thighs like Mezcal.
Uh-huh.
Would love to see Mezcal in some Skims and see how he likes those.
Kim, get Paul Mezcal for your next ad campaign.
I do have some thicker thighs. Yeah. And so I do think that the 3-inch and the kind of form-fitting nature of it doesn't fit my body type. So don't take what I say as Bible. I think there are a lot of scenarios out there where people absolutely love these things. I'm looking forward to your review, Barrett. Mm-hmm. Hopefully yours arrived. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're with my 1989 vinyl that's not coming out. Let's do some wish list items. Do you want to start us off?
I will start you off.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm crunching a little bit of ice here. My ad this week is from the homies over at Gap.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I popped through Gap at the mall the other day, and I liked some of the stuff that I was seeing in there, which, you know, and they've got some gems.
I freak with Gap
every now and then, and I feel like they're kind of leaning into to some of those gems a little bit more. They're kind of doing like a basics version of what Abercrombie's doing, which is, you know, Abercrombie's very much feels like fast fashion Ame right now.
Yes.
Gap kind of is doing a little bit of a similar thing.
Gap's even using the Ame model.
What's that?
They're even using the Ame model on here.
This one?
No. If you go back to like the, if you click the breadcrumb at the top and you click sweaters at the top.
Okay.
If you, the second line is, yep, God, Ame model.
That guy is.
Dude, that guy's got it.
He is working.
His bank account has to be busting right now because I saw him on something else randomly where I was like, oh, this is such a far departure from like where I've seen him before. But he's that guy.
So what I've got pulled up here is the Gap sweater joggers in, you're going to like this, Will, oatmeal heather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting/needing some sweats that are real loungy,
mm-hmm.
but not too thin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want a cuff on the bottom, but I also don't want them to be like, you know, like real like jersey or any or a fabric like that. Like, I want them to have some heft to them.
These look nice.
Now I have no idea because the product details and the fabric, they don't actually tell me what these are made of. So it's possible that these are not good in person because it's too much poly or acrylic or whatever, but I really like the way they look. They look like they have a nice hand. They're kind of giving boucle, in the fabric department. And, even at while priced for retail at 108, if you zoom in here, you'll see that, like usual, Gap is running somewhere in the range of 40% off.
Yeah, so. I think the darker variation of this is 50% off regardless right now.
Yeah.
Like, like it even displays as, oh, it did on something else. Okay. Online.
All right.
We're getting different algorithms on our Gap website.
But so this has been probably the page that I've cruised by most this week, just like coming back to like,
I'm into it. My buddy, when we were in Scotland and visiting my friend, my buddy is not the type to buy like matching sweats or anything. Like that's just not in his rotation. And he comes down to have a loungy night in our little like Scottish like Highlands house and build a fire. He comes down in an all cashmere sweatsuit. And I was like, where did this come from? And he got it through a deal. It is a whole thing, but he didn't pay for it. And he was like, I love this stuff.
Yeah.
And I bought a cashmere hoodie last year and they had matching pants with it. And my biggest regret is not just biting the bullet and getting the matching pants, because now if I get those pants second, like from some resale site, they're going to be less weathered than the sweatshirt is. It's just not going to feel right. Yeah. And I don't want to spend resale prices for something like that.
These, by the way, I don't think I ever said this, are called the sweater joggers, even though I wouldn't call them a jogger because they don't taper and
they're not a jogger.
Cuff. At
they're
the
not way. A jogger.
But that's what they're called on the website, is the sweater joggers.
I'm into it. Now you've got me. I'm going to end up scrolling Gap this afternoon, and that's okay. I'm going with something that I think we actually talked about during a segment, but this recently came up when I was scrolling through my save stuff, and I was like, why didn't I get that at the time? I don't even know if this is still available. It's probably not even still available, but I want it, and it's going to stay on my list just in case, you know, someone in my life wants to go find one for resale around the Christmas season. This is the Velour, not actually Velour. It's
the brand
Velour. The brand Velour Forest Fleece Jacket. It's reversible, which I don't know why. I've always liked reversible stuff. It's just kind of fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I will probably never even use the inside, but there's just like a cool, I just like this. It goes with a lot of stuff that I've already bought this year.
Yeah, this is dope.
Something I exposed of my wardrobe when I was doing my closet research, Barrett, is that I don't have a fleece right now. Okay. Sally's all right. Commandeered all my old fleeces. My old fleeces are all Patagonias that I'm just kind of over at this point because I've been like literally wearing them for over 10 years. They're all so old and weathered. But I just kind of want something a little cool. And this looks cropped. It looks kind of nice.
Does?
Kind of nice with
it. I'm not even familiar with this brand Velour.
This is one of those things that popped up on my Discover feed and I kept on getting hammered with it. And it's just happening. And so, yeah, I think if anything,
we're available, baby. We are. The fleece jacket is available. He is him and he is available.
I used to justify buying like a new winter jacket, if not every year, every other year, just because that was a big purchase up in Michigan. That was a very utilitarian purpose. Because I don't have to do that anymore. Now I'm like, should I just start allocating those funds toward like one fleece a year or one jacket a year that I can do? I don't want to spend $299 on a fleece, but maybe someone in my life does.
What if I tell you that for $500, you can get both the jacket and the matching pants? Now you're in.
Just know that if I get the jacket and the matching pants, that I will be at your bachelor party in Breckenridge wearing this everywhere.
I might tuck a button-down
shirt into these pants and wear it to dinner.
Yeah. You could be crowned drip king.
Yeah.
If you show up in the full fleece.
Maybe global warming will give us a unseasonably warm January ski, and then we can I can just go fleece. Yeah, yeah, I can just go full fleece everything. Yeah. We'll see.
That's Randy, baby Gronk became the new drip king, right? Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
And I'm so old that like I didn't even like immediately go there.
No, yeah. Know your meme, people.
Shout out baby Gronk though. So yeah, we'll see. Do we have anything else today?
I think that's it.
I think we're good.
I'm spent. It's time to go get in my closet and continue to do my own research.
We've got guests for the next. We got guests for the next 2 out of 3 episodes, and then we got our gift guide episode splitting those apart.
Wow.
So it's going to be a big November for the retail therapy heads out there. All right, guys, we will see you on the other side. Have a great weekend.